You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, woodlarks! Woozy from Wool Gathering in the Woodshed. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is 268, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen. And we are your doggone dogs, domatically dog-earing dogdom dog books.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris.
Let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz, hotshot. I stuck my hand into the mystery box here. I have a Trivial Pursuit 20th Anniversary edition and also Genus Forest. So here we go.
Good additions.
You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Let's answer some questions. People at home, play along. Here we go. Genus 4, Blue Edge. What British Commonwealth nation has the most people driving on the right side of the road?
Ooh.
Chris.
Canada.
It is Canada.
Yeah.
It is Canada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right side as in left and right, not the correct,
the correct side
of the road. Pink Wedge, Arts and Entertainment. How many singles did Bruce Springsteen put atop Billboard charts in the 1980s?
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, how about, I was going to say, what would you, is it multiple choice or we just got to get it
you
out?
You just got to get it out right. So give us a guess.
Three.
Colin?
I'm going to say six.
The answer is zero.
Never. Oh my gosh. Trick questions in Trivial
Not
Pursuit?
Not a fan of the trick questions.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what? The fact that it wasn't a multiple choice should have tipped us off that it might be a trick question.
I don't know. They typically don't do trick questions. So
they
anyway,
really
so
don't.
Is there any is there any explanation
just
for this?
Zero.
Nope, just zero.
Hilarious. Like, whoa, can you believe it? Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Yellow Wedge, next question for history. What Filipino was nicknamed the Iron Butterfly? Colin.
Oh, wait, this is 20. I was going to say Manny Pacquiao, the boxer, but that couldn't possibly be the timeline of this wouldn't work out.
What Filipino person was nicknamed the Iron Butterfly?
Is there no, is there any kind of like supporting information there? Literally just...
I mean,
I'll take a second
guess. Maybe butterfly kind of clues it in. Like,
is it Aquino? Corazon Aquino?
It is Imelda Marcos.
Imelda Marcos. Of course, of course.
Big array of shoes that made the news.
Right. That was real, right? She really did have like thousands and thousands of pairs of shoes, right? Okay.
We used to nickname our mom that. she used to have like a whole thing of shoes, and we're like, oh, it's Imelda Marcos over here.
Nice.
And we were kids. Nice. Like, we didn't know who.
All you know is she has a lot of shoes. Right.
All right. Purple Wedge, Brown Wedge, Science and Nature. What comet was first sighted by the Chinese in 240 BC? Chris.
Halley's Comet.
Halley's Comet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Green Wedge, Sports and Leisure. What New Yorker introduced a board game where the smallest bill is $10 million? Colin.
Is it Donald J. Trump?
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Correct. Moving on, Orange Wedge. Who were the parents of flower girl Elizabeth at the wedding of Mick Jagger and Jerry Hall? Wow.
Okay, what? Who are the parents of Flower Girl
Elizabeth?
At the,
Mick Jagger, lead singer, Rolling Stones, and Jerry Hall, famous model.
Right, right.
Karen's laughing, so I don't think it's going to be...
what's your guess?
Paul and Linda McCartney, but judging by your reaction, I doubt that's
Chris. okay. Can we figure this out? Like, is there somebody?
So they got married. Jerry Hall. Okay, I mean, this would be 70s, right?
I'm trying to work it back from Elizabeth. Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, I mean, you think it's in the 70s? So is there somebody today, or was there somebody in the 90s
Nepo
maybe
baby.
Who was like, Nepo baby? Her name was Elizabeth.
Now she's famous. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Liz.
The answer is.
I got nothing.
Mick Jagger and Jerry Hall.
What is up with this card?
True questions today.
Wow. Two tricks, one card. Not acceptable.
No.
That's why I laughed. I was like, wow, what a waste. What a waste of a question. You know, it could have been something.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Maybe this card is better. Our last trivial card here. 20th anniversary edition. Green Wedge. What Atlantic City casino did Time call the work of a candy maker gone mad, iced with 70 fruit-flavored minarets?
Oh, my gosh.
Atlantic City casino. What? So they're looking for the name of the casino.
Oh, minarets?
Yeah. Chris.
Was that the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City?
It is the Taj Mahal.
Good one. Good pull.
Yes,
good
Taj Mahal.
Yeah, nice.
Pink Wedge. What sitcom character served a memorable stint as soap opera hero Dr. Drake Ramore? Chris.
Joey Tribbiani. Yes, not to be confused with Joey Tribbiani, the dog who loved trivia. And yes, that was our team name when we didn't want to go in as Baby Dog Time. Right, yeah.
There's like, you know, like when the celebrities check in a hotel under a different name, you know, right. That's our Billy Shears was Joey Tribbiani.
Yellow Wedge, what Hollywooders 2001 speech was protested by students in ape masks holding signs that read, "Guns don't kill people, apes kill people."
Of course.
Chris.
Charlton Heston.
Yes, Mr. Charlton Heston, yep. Who was the star of the original Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
And now loves guns.
Brown Wedge. Ooh, what Tom Batiuk, B-A-T-I-U-K. What Tom Batiuk comic strip character was shot to death in front of horrified readers in 1991?
Whoa!
Oh my god! Kick myself. I definitely know his name.
91. Oh, interesting.
What Tom Batiuk comic strip character was shot to death in front of horrified readers in 1991?
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of the names of people who draw a lot of comic books, and I don't know that one. So it's like, what is it?
This is John Darling.
Never heard of it.
Oh.
Huh. That is not what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Hold on one second here.
Let me just look that up.
Just look this up.
No. I'm trying to... Tom Batiuk. The reason I know that name, he also created Crankshaft and Funky Winkerbean. So I was like, I know that name, but that is, that's not the character I was looking for.
It sounds like those ICP Music Summer Fest bands.
Yes.
Gathering of the Juggalos. Yeah.
Yeah, Underground Music Festival. Green Wedge, what type of physician is known around hospitals as... Just so everybody knows, like, I'm reading these live, so I don't know what's going to happen word after word. Yes. What type of physician is known around hospitals as a rear admiral?
Colin. Who wants to take this one? Colin, you take this one.
If it's not proctologist, I will be very upset.
It is proctologist. Proctologist. Correct. All right. Last question, Orange Wedge. What creature's brain and testicle is Cardiff City soccer star Spencer Pryor contractually required to eat?
Okay. Let's take it from the top there. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
What creature's brain and testicles is Cardiff City soccer star Spencer Pryor, his name, contractually required to eat?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't know what the answer is.
Okay.
What is it asking for?
Cow. Or, I mean, not a cow. Sorry, it's a steer.
Yeah, a steer, a bull. I'm trying to think, okay, what animal have I heard of people eating both
Cardiff.
The brains and the testicles?
Uh-huh, you
know,
uh-huh.
Like outside even the bounds of, you know, dares or... I'll go with bull, too. I don't know.
It is a sheep's.
Lamb fries!
Right. Okay, yes.
Is that what it's called?
In the movie Funny Farm, it is, yeah.
Okay, some quick Googling here on the side suggests that Spencer Pryor in the sheep contract was an elaborate practical joke of sorts. Very complicated. Yeah, all right, okay.
All right, now that that's settled, good job, brains. This week, today's episode, a topic near and dear to my heart, we're celebrating man's best friend, dogs. So this week, it's Hot Diggity Dog.
I will start us off with a grab bag trivia quiz I have called Dog and Dog Adjacent Trivia. So, these were questions either directly or loosely involving dogs. I think we will have a good time here. Let's do this one as a write-down quiz. We'll start us off here with a softball, hopefully, just to get you guys juices flowing here. Okay. In Greek mythology, what is the name of the three-headed dog who guarded the entrance to the underworld?
Did I spell?
Oh, I will be flexible with the spelling. Right. Yeah, if I just tell what you're going for, that's all right. Okay. Answers up. Here we go. Hopefully a softball. You have both answered. You have both answered correctly, which is Cerberus. Yes.
Oh, I spelled it wrong. Oh, it's Cerberus, not Cerebus.
That is a unrelated comic book.
Yes, that's an unrelated comic book.
Cerebral. I'm thinking Cerberus. Chris, how do you spell it?
Cerberus.
Cerberus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Or Cerberus. I'll accept it. Okay. What is rapper / actor / pitchman Snoop Dogg's real name?
No, I knew it.
What
before.
Is his given name? We get these at trivia a lot. The stage name match up to real name. Got to file this one away if it's not in there already.
I only know one part of the name.
Okay, write down what you know. Maybe I will award partial points here.
Okay,
sure.
Okay. Oh, what is his last name? Okay.
Okay, answers up. Chris has it correct with Calvin Brodus. You got it.
Wow.
And Karen, I'll give you the half point for Calvin. That's right. Karen wrote Calvin. Yes, Calvin Brodus Jr., in fact. Calvin Brodus
half
Jr.
Half point could come in handy later. You don't know.
All right. What Hollywood A-lister plays bass in the band Dog Star?
Oh.
Dog Star.
90s.
Very 90s. Although I heard that they, you know, occasionally will reform and play some gigs here.
Okay. I don't know.
Chris has written Bruce Willis. Sorry. Good guess. The current lineup, or the most recent lineup of Band Dog Star, Brett Domrose, Robert Mailhouse, and on bass, Keanu Reeves. Karen has it correctly. Yes, Keanu Reeves.
Though Bruce Willis is a good guess, Chris.
I know he's a musician, so
yeah.
Alaska's famous Iditarod
yes.
sled dog race. Karen, are you aware that right now, today, the Iditarod is ongoing? We are in the middle of the 2024 Iditarod. Looking up the standings. I was reading up a little bit about the various mushers mushing away in
Alaska. They're all like part of a dynasty. You know, they're like multiple families that just like breed and have this like dynasty of mushers and dogs.
Yeah. I mean, I was perusing the list of all-time winners of the Iditarod, and almost all the winners are from Alaska. All right, the famous Iditarod sled dog race. If you're not familiar, you are a musher. You've got a team of dogs, 12 to 14 dogs somewhere in there, and you are covering ground. You are going from Anchorage to Nome. How long?
Oh,
we'll do closest to. How long is the Iditarod sled dog race in miles?
I have no concept.
How much ground do they cover?
Okay. Maybe I'll think of like marathons. Like how many marathons is it?
They're currently on day 6. It is a multi-day event.
Multi-day.
Yeah,
okay.
No, you're camping along the way. It is a multi-day event. Closest to the mark here gets it in miles. Karen has written 175. A little bit low. Chris is much closer. Chris has written 806. It is, in fact, 1,000 miles.
Wow.
1,000 miles.
Yeah.
They round it.
Okay.
So I learned, I did not know this until this year researching it, there are two routes that they take. So the trail starts the same, ends the same, and then kind of in the middle of the trail, there's a northern route and a southern route, and they alternate on years. So even the number of years.
Not like choose your own.
Yeah, no, not like choose your own, exactly.
I was trying to math it out like, okay, they're probably going like 20 miles an hour, you know what I mean? Not car speed, but not human speed. All day, if they're maybe they're racing for like 8 hours a day, so it's like, you know, 100 miles a day over a week.
Yeah, the northern route is 975 miles. The southern route is 998. So they just generally round it to 1,000, the 1,000-mile race.
Well, good luck to all the dogs. I hope they have fun.
Hope they make friends
Whoever
along
wins.
The way.
Exactly. Yes.
The Dachshund, the wiener dog, the Doxy. Many names for this dog. Lovable dogs. They're very cute. They're very popular pets. It is no surprise a German name. Dachshund sounds very German.
Yes.
What does Dachshund mean in German?
What's the dock?
What is the
dock?
Yes, duck? You can probably guess the Hund. You can probably guess Hund part. Yes. Yeah. What is Dachshund in German? And maybe you think about, you know, what were they bred to do originally?
Okay. I like my answer.
So like,
what is dock?
Okay, answers up. Karen has written Dig Dog, not to be confused with the popular video game from the 1980s. Chris has written Hunting Dog. you guys are you're sort of close, but no, Dachs in German is badger. They were bred.
I knew that, and I was like,
I should have just trusted your gut there. Yep, yeah. Badger hound. And they were, in fact, bred to scent and flush out and chase badgers. Yeah.
Badgers.
And then more broadly, other kind of burrowing animals. But yeah, that's the origin of the name Dachshund. I learned that today in Germany, they don't call them Dachshunds. They're mostly called either Dackel or Teckel. That's kind of just the name that they've settled on there. Yeah, Dachshund.
I feel like we say it because we've disassociated it from the meaning of it. If for them, it's weird to just call it badger dog. You know,
True. All right, we'll stick with recognizable dog breeds here. The Dalmatian. Maybe the most immediately recognizable dog breed, especially for children. The Dalmatian, famous from Disney movies and other places. The Dalmatians were first bred in Dalmatia, which is a historical region of what European country?
Oh, I knew this before.
Yes. Like many dog breeds named after the region where they were first bred or most famously bred. Dalmatian.
It's like modern day, like country. What about
I'm looking for a modern day. Well, you know, I'm looking for the name of the country. This country is fairly popular with tourists.
Okay.
Answers up. Dalmatia, the historical region of what country? Chris has written Austria. Karen has nailed it. It is Croatia.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Right. You got it.
Yeah.
I have a question here about U.S. presidents. Maybe some Prezi dog trivia might help you out here if you remember your Prezi dog trivia from Chris's past quizzes. This U.S. president was a noted lover of beagles. In fact, his most famous beagles were him and her. He caused no small amount of controversy.
Were the names?
Yes. His most famous beagles were named him and her. Yeah, very imaginative names. There's a very famous photo of this president hoisting one of the dogs by their ears, which apparently he did every now and then. A lot of people got mad at him for it. Rightly so. Please don't lift up your dog by their ears. Mm-hmm. All right. Karen, very confident in her answer. Chris, still writing. Okay, answers up. Chris has written Theodore Roosevelt. Good guess. The man had a lot of pets. Great
he
guess.
Did.
Yes,
you can't
fantastic.
Tell me, you can't
no,
tell me he didn't have beagles.
Yeah. Karen, however, has written the correct answer, which is Lyndon B. Johnson. Yeah, LBJ.
I will say this. So, you know, U.S. president is not my strong suit, but I have to attribute to a lot of my guessing president trivia correctly, thanks to the movie Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Oh.
It goes through the span of a couple presidents. So at least now I know those presidents are in order and that there's a famous scene. Liev Schreiber was the one who played LBJ in that movie where he's taking a poo and his beagles are all around him.
Oh,
that's a scene that kind of now etched in my memory. So yes, if you want to bone up on your U.S. president trivia, watch The Butler.
I haven't seen it, but it's funny that is depicted in there, because I have read more than once over the years that LBJ would like have, you know, sort of impromptu meetings, like just on the can, like he would go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And he would expect his advisors while he's doing his business,
and that was the scene. It was Eagles people handing him paper, he's like pantsless, like taking a poo on a toilet.
Okay, last question here, possibility of 2 points. The Saint Bernard, big old lovable Saint Bernard, maybe one of the second most recognizable dogs, especially as we see them in cartoons, often with the little barrel of brandy around their neck. It's very cute, right? The Saint Bernard was in fact bred for rescue work for snowbound travelers, and they took their name from a hospice named after Saint Bernard of Menthon. And so the dogs that dwelled there and would help rescue snowbound travelers took on the name Saint Bernard dogs.
Oh.
And so this hospice was located on a mountain pass, the Great Saint Bernard Pass. For 2 points, what two countries is the Great Saint Bernard Pass between? It is right on the border of these two countries. You can probably guess at least one if you know your Saint Bernard iconography, at least.
Okay, I know one country. What's the other one?
Saint Bernards have been associated with the pass and the hospice for more than 300 years. All right, answers up. Chris has written Switzerland and France. Karen has written Switzerland and France. You just get 1 point. It is Switzerland and Italy. Switzerland and Italy.
Saint Bernardo.
Saint Bernardo, right. Okay, 1 point each. According to the monks who run the hospice, the dogs did not, in fact, carry little barrels of brandy around their neck. Yeah, it's
fake news.
Well, you know, there's a very famous painting that basically, you know, we see this a lot on the show, and like, you know, the imagery from a painting just kind of sticks and kind of becomes the story. Yeah, there may have been at least one dog over the years that did have a little barrel of brandy, but it was not like that was part of their standard kit. All right, well done. You guys know your dogs. You know your dog-adjacent trivia. I think Karen ended up taking that quiz. Perhaps no surprise. Well done.
So, remember a couple episodes ago, last season, it was like a quick segment. It was kind of like, oh, hey, we should know this just in case if Pub Trivia asks questions about Air Bud. You know, we joke about Air Bud a lot, which is the Disney film where a real-life dog, golden retriever, plays basketball very well in this town that has very loosey-goosey intramural sports association rules. So just a quick review again, since this is an episode about dogs, we have Air Bud, which is a basketball film, Air Bud : golden receiver, American football.
Yeah, sure.
Air Bud : world pup,
soccer.
Mm-hmm. And then Air Bud, seventh inning, fetch, baseball. And then the fifth in this original sports series is Air Bud : spikes back about volleyball. And Colin, you made a joke, or like, oh, I can't believe there's no hockey. There's no hockey Air Bud. Obviously, it'd be very hard to get ice skates on dog or dog paws, you know, and have them flail.
Well, I remember we were discussing, like, would he have four ice skates or two ice skates? You know, it's like,
because he has to hold the stick.
Yeah, right. Unless he's like, you know, he's the goalie, just kind of like standing sideways, maybe in the goal. Yeah, using his body.
Well, what if they did make a hockey movie, like an Air Bud hockey movie? what would the punny title be?
Oh, that's good.
And it's really hard because hockey terms are not very, very obvious to people who don't know hockey. Right. There's hockey. There's puck, maybe ice. People aren't going to know what a deke is. People aren't going to know what this is.
And it's, the so it's crease.
Like, yeah, exactly. So I was like, oh, what can we name? So I came up with two possible Air Bud hockey movie titles. Listeners, please submit your own if it strikes your fancy. So, okay. So number one, Air Bud colon power play.
Oh.
But it's spelled with a paw.
Power play. Okay.
Power play. So here's my other nomination is Air Bud colon The Legend of Gordie Howell.
That's good. Bad. That's good. It also like it kind of
it's
follows
a prequel.
It follows a really good pattern of the Air Bud, the legend of And that would be like Bud's maybe like his grandfather or somebody, right?
Yeah, who
he finds out was a hockey legend. And,
It's like Back to the Future 3. It takes place in the past. Anyways, thank you for humoring me.
Oh, well, so speaking of movies, I just want to share one little note here from that last quiz I had here. I jotted this down. So you guys, speaking of St. Bernard's, probably familiar with the 1992 comedy movie Beethoven, which featured St. Bernard.
Was that the first one?
That was the first. Well, you mean the first Beethoven movie?
Yeah.
92. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
1992. Also had Beethoven's Second. Remember, right? Very clever. Right. That was the sequel. Yep. So, I mean, to state the obvious, you know, St. Bernards are huge. They're giant. They're big dogs. I didn't realize they grow so fast. I read that in Beethoven's Second, they had like four little St. Bernard puppies. Okay, and they had to use over 100 St. Bernard puppies over the course of filming the movie.
Oh, of course, of filming.
That grows so fast. Right, it's not like filming a movie with a human infant, you know, where like, you know, 2-3 months of shooting, you know, whatever. No one's going to know. Yeah, there's four. So there were four puppies in the movie, four character puppies. Yeah, more than 100 St. Bernards to keep them at the same size while they were shooting.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Like, switch them out almost like.
Yeah.
Twice a week.
Yeah, it's like you come in on Monday, you get your new batch of St. Bernard puppies.
Anyway, yes, while I was listening to that, I realized the Air Bud hockey title. Here we go. Air Bud, Stanley Pup.
Oh, that's it.
Thanks.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
All right, everybody, my turn. And plot twist, my quiz that I've prepared is not about actual dogs. Mm. It's about hot dogs. Chris has graced us last season with Beefin' USA regional beef sandwiches in America. And we love like regional differences and like histories and myths and legends about how these dishes came to be. Here I have a cross-country jaunt of some of our country's very unusual regional hot dogs. There are a lot. Here's a quiz. Get out your Barnyard buzzers. Let's buzz in. First question. Here we go. How is the New Jersey dog, also known as the Ripper, cooked? Colin.
It's fried.
Yes, you're okay. Correct. It is deep fried, called the Ripper because when you fry it, it rips.
Oh.
I'm sure it's so delicious. But it doesn't look very appealing. And I think that's kind of the problem with foods that are deep fried without batter. It just kind of looks sinewy. And a big rip down the middle. Yes, the New Jersey dog. Okay, next question. What kind of bread is the puka dog served in?
How do you spell puka?
Yes, the spelling is P-U-K-A. What kind of bread is the puka dog served in?
Oh, interesting. Oh, sure.
Chris?
Is it served in a Hawaiian sweet roll, like a King's Hawaiian sweet roll?
Yeah.
It is good cluing in Hawaiian specialty, the puka dog. Okay, here's a curveball for all you hot dog versus sandwiches or is a hot dog a sandwich theorists. Puka dog, it's in a Hawaiian sweet, like a King's Hawaiian, but it's like a long roll, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like a normal roll, no openings. Then they impale it with a hot rod. And so then that hollows the bread roll and toasts the whole. Then they push the dog inside of it. So there's no sleeve opening. You know, like when you get a hot dog bun, you kind of open it up like a book.
There's no hinge.
There's no hinge. It is literally a tube bread.
Wow.
Yeah. So let me read the description. So puka dog. Hawaiian sweet bread. Okay. And then they put a garlic lemon sauce. They also top it off with like a tropical relish, ends with a lily koi mustard, which is passion fruit mustard. So it's like a fruity, salty, billowy, hot toasted bread tube, the puka dog. All right. Next question. What city's own style of hot dog popularized the phrase dragged it through the garden? Chris.
Chicago.
Can you name me some of the toppings in a Chicago dog?
Oh, sport peppers, like a pickle, the neon relish.
Yeah.
I think it's chopped onions, like an entire hamburger, a Bloody Mary, a bean burrito, and a slice of pizza.
Well, Chris, you forgot tomato.
Oh, tomato.
It's a big meal.
It's a commitment. Yeah. A
lot of stuff. All right. Next question. In what state can you get a hot dog partially made of caribou meat served alongside with Coca-Cola onions? Wow. Chris again.
I mean, if it's not Alaska, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
It is Alaska. Alaska.
They got all those caribous.
Yes, caribou's same species as the reindeer. It is known as the reindeer dog, where the meat, it's not completely reindeer meat, but there's some reindeer meat in it and served alongside of onions, but it's cooked in reduced cola.
That sounds interesting. I haven't heard of that.
That sounds great, yeah.
Yeah, that actually sounds good. Awesome. All right, next question. The New York system is the name, is a type of hot dog, but it's actually not from New York. In what state can you munch on a New York system and follow it up with a big gulp of coffee milk?
Oh.
Colin.
That's gotta be Rhode Island, right?
Rhode Island, home of the New York system and home of the coffee milk. So the name is a bit of a marketing ploy. It's like they have this hot dog. Oh, let's name it after New York because that's kind of New York is known for hot dogs. All right. So on the hot dog, there's meat sauce, just meat sauce, mustard, chopped onions, and celery salt. And what makes the New York system kind of, you know, has the flair is when the person's making it, they line up multiple buns, what they call on the arm. So they line up buns along one arm. So okay. they would dress the hot dogs with like 8 hot dogs balanced on their arm. And then they would put all the toppings on it. So it's called on the arm. And that's what makes an experience.
Right. And that little bit of hair.
Yes.
Get over the edge. Yeah.
And I know what you're thinking. Wow, a meat sauce hot dog followed by coffee milk? Ew. Actually, according to the Olneyville, New York system hot dog place in Providence, Rhode Island, a landmark, the owner stated that coffee milk outsells other beverages 8-1. People love drinking coffee milk after they had their hot dogs. It's like a match made in heaven. All right. Next question. Also, let's keep it in New England. If you're in Maine and you're taking a look around, you'll find that their regional hot dogs all have what color?
Oh.
Chris.
I mean, red?
It is red. Okay. Bright red. Not like meat red. Bright, almost neon.
I've had hot dogs in New England and certainly in Maine. And I mean, you know, every now and again, you do get a red hot dog. I didn't know that was like Maine's
their thing.
But
yeah.
I mean, I know it's not blue or it's not green. It's, you know.
Is it a byproduct or is it just kind of
food coloring? Sort of,
yeah.
Food
yeah. Coloring. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It ate krill. And yeah. No,
it's farm raised hot dog. Yeah.
They're also known as red snappers because they're red and they have a very satisfying snap. Why are they red?
Yeah,
why are they so
bright? I guess
bright
that's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Just marketing.
Okay.
We got to look different.
Okay. I mean, and once you've been doing it for 50 years, you can't just
one day stop
making them red.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Bright red. And people are like, swear like, oh, this tastes better. Last question here in our regional hot dog quiz. My new home city, Seattle, has their own regional hot dog. The Seattle dog is served with what breakfast condiment? Have you heard of the Seattle dog?
Seattle dog.
I thought I had, but apparently I haven't. Okay, breakfast condiment. Okay. I mean,
Chris.
Is it like grape jelly?
No.
Okay. No. I was struggling to even think of a single breakfast condiment.
Marmalade? Honey? I don't know. Yeah.
Think of a spread. Type of spread.
Oh
gosh. Oh, I know it. It's cream cheese.
Yes, it is cream.
Now that you said that, I'm like, yes, hot dog with cream cheese. Yes, yes, yes.
They slather cream cheese in the bun, and you have all the other stuff, your hot dog and whatever.
I can see that. I can see that. Okay, yeah.
Well, the story goes, many places claim that they started cream cheese and hot dogs, but but there's one account where someone worked at a bagel place during the day and also ran like a food cart at night. He's like, you know what? Everybody else is selling hot dogs. What if I just also sold bagels? And so he sold bagel like rolls, like using the bagel dough. He had rolls. Mm-hmm. It kind of just became a thing. He's like, oh, I don't want to be a hot dog person. I'm gonna sell bagels, but I'm gonna put a hot dog in it. And people are like, wow.
It started out as a hot dog in a bagel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes. It in a bagel, but not the normal bagel we think of. It's like using a Bialy dough. They use the bagel dough to make these rolls, like these sticks.
Right,
and he's
right.
like, then they stuck the hot dog in there. So,
but now people will just take a regular hot dog bun and put cream cheese on it in the hot dog. Yeah.
If you're gonna experiment with like stuff like that, a late night drunk crowd is the perfect little sandbox to play in there. Yeah, because
this sounds like something you'd get at a. At a Japanese bakery or Paris baguette or something like that. Like
yeah.
A hot dog inside of a bagel with cream cheese.
Yes.
In it. Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And with ketchup on top just to bring it all together. Seattle dog. Interesting.
Regional thing. All right. Good job, everybody.
Okay.
Hot diggity dog.
So I have written a quiz for you guys that is a wordplay type quiz, and it is titled Dog Words and Cat Words. We're going to be talking about dogs and cats. And what I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to give you 2 definitions of words. Okay. I'm going to give you 1 definition and then another definition. And the first definition, the word for that definition will contain the letters D-O-G in that order consecutively.
Okay.
The second definition, the word will contain letters C-A-T. okay. in that order consecutively. I have tried to combine them so that the words are at least somewhat related. So
thematically, okay.
Hopefully
okay.
there should be some interesting pairings of dog words and cat words. Let's try it. Here we go. So I'm going to give you two definitions.
Okay.
One word has D-O-G in consecutive order. The next one has C-A-T in consecutive order. I would say this will be a buzz in. And then if you guys do have, you know, trouble coming up with them, maybe talk it out amongst yourselves.
Okay.
But let's start it out and let's try to keep it nice and competitive. It'll be a buzz in quiz.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. All right.
Two word phrase.
Right. No, not a two word phrase. It's two words that are probably somewhat at least related.
Two
I tried to get
words.
Them to be related.
Got it,
two separate words. Yeah. Okay. So here's the first one. Best to just jump in and try to do it.
All right.
So two definitions. Show off by performing an ostentatious stunt or trick, and a table condiment with a tangy flavor.
Oh, I know the second
one. Okay.
Colin.
Is that hot dog and catsup?
Yes.
Okay.
That is hot dog to hot dog, one word,
oh!
is to show off by performing an ostentatious stunt. And of course, a table kind of with the tangy flavor is catsup.
Okay.
Typically, we say ketchup, but some still say catsup. Very good. Very good. Now you get it. Okay.
Yeah, because it's ketchup right. and hot dog. Okay. Yeah.
Moving right along. Badly written poetry. And improvised wordless singing.
The first
Colin.
One.
Is that doggerel and scat or scatting?
Doggerel and scat.
Wow.
Yes. Doggerel and scat. Very good. now you're starting to get it. Okay. Next one. Someone who has to do menial, boring tasks for another person. And someone hired to do distasteful or unlawful tasks for another person.
Ooh.
Whoa. Unlawful. Huh.
This was the second word, if that's the one you're having trouble
yeah,
with.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
second
yeah.
word comes up in the first Song of Ice and Fire book. The person who was hired to go kill Bran Stark is referred to as a blank of somebody else. And remember, that's the word.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I know the second one.
Okay. Okay. Karen knows the first one.
Okay. All right.
Well, I underdog.
It's not underdog.
Oh.
Underdog is like somebody in a sports, you know,
that's
matchup.
True.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you guys don't know this one. Okay. So
someone
I'll tell
to
you.
Do
so,
dirty. Okay.
So the first word is dog's body.
Oh.
Dog's body?
Their dog's body, yes.
Oh.
A dog's body is a person who is like, who has to do a bunch of menial drudge
oh.
work for another person.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that
then,
one.
And then, Colin,
one.
What's the second one?
I believe it's cat's paw.
Cat's paw, yes.
Yeah.
Dog's body and cat's paw. A cat's paw specifically is somebody who you have doing something that is either distasteful or possibly illegal.
Okay.
So poetic.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Dog's body and cat's paw. That sounds like a very expensive boutique shop, Chris. You know, like,
all of these...
Oh, where did you get that? Oh, I got it at Dog's Body and Cat's Paw. Yeah.
all of these do sound a little interesting. I think when you pair them up like this, but yes, that's good. That's good. Okay. A large, wasteful, ultimately useless undertaking and a massive disaster. Anybody? A large, wasteful, ultimately useless undertaking and a massive disaster.
Again, it's the first one that's large.
Oh, okay. Colin.
Okay, well, I'm going to go in the reverse order. Is the massive disaster catastrophe?
Catastrophe.
It is, yeah.
Okay, and then the first one, I've heard this phrase before. I'm not sure that's what you're looking for. Is it dog's breakfast?
No, it's just one word.
Right.
Something where you maybe sink a ton of money into something. You know, often the government might do something like this where a ton of money gets sunk into something to no effect.
Okay.
Colin?
A boondoggle.
Yes.
Oh.
Boondoggle and a catastrophe.
Boondoggle yep. and catastrophe.
Boondoggle and
this
catastrophe.
This must be really hard to find the pairing of the words.
There are way more words with C-A-T in them than D-O-G,
D-O-G.
In them. So a lot of it was find the D-O-G word and then find a good C-A-T word that pairs
got
with
it. Got
so that
it.
That was kind of the process. Yeah. Okay. A tree with pink blossoms and an ancient type of violin string. Heron.
Dogwood.
Uh-huh.
Cat guts.
Dogwood and cat gut. Very good. Very good.
That's all these words are so pleasing together.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Like dogwood and cat gut. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sounds like a bar where they serve $20 cocktails.
Yes. Big ostentatious ampersand and the sign.
Okay. Next one. Having stubborn tenacity and easy to remember, like a tune.
Okay, well,
no, I can think the second word. One. Yeah.
Tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
Stubborn.
Dog. Like
is it just. Is it just dogged?
Like, yes.
Oh.
And?
Yeah. Oh, dogged and catchy.
Dogged and catchy. Yep. Okay. Yep. Oh. Dogged. That's in a private eye or a journalist hunting down the, you know. Scoop.
That's a men's lifestyle brand.
Dogged and catchy.
Yes.
A spotted shark and a type of marine creature with prominent barbels.
Oh.
Karen.
Dogfish and catfish.
Dogfish and catfish. Very good.
There's the whiskers? Barbels?
Barbels.
Ooh,
barbels.
That's a great term. Barbels.
That's the actual, yeah, as in like barb, as in hair, as in like, you know, Yeah. All right. A sharply bending route and to chain things together.
Ooh.
Okay, got the first one.
To
chain. This is this is one of those $1 words that it sounds very very fancy, and then it just means to chain things together. Colin.
Yes. The first one is dog leg, I'm assuming. And then the second word is concatenate.
Yes, correct. Dog leg and concatenate.
Concatenate
simply means to link things together in a chain. Yes.
Concatenate does show up in coding and programming a lot. You'll concatenate variables into a string or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. A type of organization that monitors for illegal activity and to find something. A type of organization that monitors for illegal activity and find something.
Okay.
I know the first.
I know the first one, I think. And to find something.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna be. So he's theming them. Watchdog and
look.
I mean,
categorize. Yeah,
it's not look
cat. Yeah.
Look catching catch.
But it's cat. but now that I say that, it's actually pretty close.
Sea cat.
Watchdog.
Fine cat.
You know what? It's not pronounced cat in the word.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Okay.
It's pronounced Kate.
Locate.
Yes. Watchdog and locate. All not right. Look cat, but locate.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And finally, an established religious belief and a manual of religious beliefs.
Dogma.
Yeah.
And
manual catechism.
Sears catalog. What is it?
Dogma and catechism.
Dogma and catechism. Woo! Very good. Yes.
Not cataclysm.
Not cataclysm. Catechism. Which is
like
a
catalog which is of isms.
Essentially it's like a question and answer, like summary or teaching tool that is used to teach people about the beliefs of a religion. You hear about this a lot with the Catholic Church.
But in
a general sense, yes. Dogma and cat. Yeah. So let's review. Hot dog and catsup. Doggerel and scat. Dog's body and cat's paw. Boondoggle and catastrophe. Dogwood and cat gut. Dogged and catchy. Dogfish and catfish. Dog leg and concatenate. Watchdog and locate. And finally, dogma and catechism, which. That was how I decided to do this when I was looking up like dogma and then found that a catechism has doctrines and dogmas in it. And I'm like, oh, dogma and catechism. That's fantastic.
That's good. That's wow. Very good.
Thanks.
Everybody, shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
I have one last segment here. We're back to actual dogs. Mascot dogs. We love our advertising. We love dogs here. So yes, advert dogs. No, what's a better title? No. Anyways, here, please buzz in. I have a couple questions
Mutt-scots.
Here. Mutt-scots.
I'm on fire today. All right.
Yeah, I was like, dog Scots. I was like,
this is how
right.
You all know we don't have like a pre-meeting before we start recording.
Right.
You're seeing the sausage fly. Get made. That's right.
Yeah. Mud Scots. Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. Get out your barnyard buzzers. First question. The first Olympics official mascot was the 1972 Summer Games in Munich.
Mm.
And it was a dog. What kind of dog was it? Colin.
I believe it was a dachshund.
Yes, okay. It was a wiener dog. Wiener dog, first official mascot of the Olympics is a
That's
cute
so
wiener dog.
That's so late, as 72. Wow.
They had like unofficial mascots, but they're not like printed marketing collateral.
It's sure.
Waldy the wiener dog was Aww. The first mascot. It looks like a what you think a 70s very graphic bold screen print dog looks like. It's like a poster you can buy from Etsy. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
When you look at it, it's not like an Olympic mascot. What we think of an Olympic mascot, it's like a cute designy dog. And then fun fact about Waldy, they actually charted the marathon in the 1972 Summer Games so that it's a shape of a
no,
wiener dog.
No, really?
They ran a shape of the wiener dog. Like the shape of the wiener dog was more important than a good course. Do you
yes.
know what I mean? They tried to really make it happen. Waldy's not the only Olympic mascot dog. There was another one in 1992. Colby, the Catalan sheepdog, kind of a cool, abstract, stylish representation. What city was this Olympics held in? Colin?
That would be Barcelona.
Barcelona. But those are the only two dogs so far. Do you guys know what the upcoming mascots are for the Paris Olympics?
Oh, absolutely. Man. I saw it because they just unveiled them and I've totally forgot. And they're all do like these days. It's always like multiple mascots now, right?
Yeah, the Paralympics.
Like the last several Olympics. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget. What was it?
They're hats. They're like the French Revolution, not Napoleon hats, but like, you know, the French Revolution, like little wool hats.
That's
but they're
so
cute.
French.
They're very cute. Yeah. I know it sounds it's kind of like Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next question. Who was described by their creators? And I quote, "He was tired. He had seen the world. And he had epitomized all the detectives we had seen from Raymond Chandler to Dashiell Hammett and even Columbo." Mm-hmm. Chris?
McGruff, the crime dog.
The crime dog. Listeners, if you did not grow up in the United States around the 1980s, you missed McGruff, the crime dog, who is a a serious cartoon dog.
Yeah.
It's like a human body with a hound dog.
And like
a bloodhound dog.
Trench coat and
one dog in a trench coat. Yeah.
It was kind of polarizing. People are like, you want a cartoon dog to talk about crime? And it turns out it was a big hit. You know, people really related to it. People didn't think it was overly cutesy.
I feel like also I associate, you know, again, being an 80s kid, I remember like there was the golden age. There was McGruff the crime dog. You had Smokey the Bear. You had Woodsy the Owl. You know, it was like sort of
Who's Woodsy the Owl?
I guess Woodsy didn't make it into the 2020s. It was like, it was, you know, like nature safety and forest safety and respect for nature. That kind of, yeah. And you guys, of course, remember McGruff's slogan, right?
Yes. Give it to us.
Take a bite out of crime.
Oh, such good copy. Oh, so good. Take a bite out of crime. There was actually a nationwide contest to name McGruff, to name the dog character. They unveiled the character and people could write in. And so McGruff was chosen. Great name. The runner up is not good. It's sure locked Holmes. Like locked Holmes, like the homes are locked up. Sure, locked Holmes.
Sure, locked Holmes. Wow. Hey, listen, from one bad pun writer to another.
You tried.
Good, some good work.
You tried. Sure, locked
Holmes. Yeah. The sign of a good pun is when you have to explain it a couple times. Yeah. That's how you know you've really.
Like, so that's the name of the dog?
But like, but he's like a modern detective. He's not like a Deerstalker cap, you know, detective.
Yeah.
Like it's McGruff is so good. It's
no,
like
it's perfect.
NYPD Blues. Okay, next question. The title "His Master's Voice" is the title of the painting of Nipper the dog staring into what? Ooh, Chris, what's your guess?
It's the speaker horn on a Victrola.
Yes.
Colin.
that's my answer as well.
Okay. Well, there's two answers. You're correct. There's if you guys don't know, Nipper the dog, it's the RCA dog. It's what we colloquially call the RCA Victor dog. It's like a very, very cute dog staring into like a speaker horn, an old style speaker horn.
Uh-huh.
The machine in the original painting, it was an Edison cylinder phonograph.
Okay.
It got repainted into a gramophone.
That is really interesting. That is good trivia.
All right. Next question. Officially, there are 6 dogs who take turns and put on red, non-toxic, natural paint on their faces to fulfill promotional duties for what company?
Oh.
Colin.
Is it Target?
It's Target! Oh.
For Bullseye.
Bullseye. Bullseye, the bull terrier. There are 6 dogs, and this is for commercials, for their posters. Sometimes they go to events, they go to award shows, and you know, listeners, you might know that I always talk about how I bookmarked the Wikipedia page where it lists all the different types of sandwiches in the world. The Bullseye Wikipedia page is also a very frequently it's not even a long page. It's not like there's that much information, but I go to it pretty frequently because I love the picture.
Aww.
It's of Bullseye, the real version of Bullseye, at the Iditarod. He's not running. He's like there for wearing a little Target sweater.
He's a celebrity.
It's actually her face is just kind of staring into like space, and it's one of my favorite pictures. So Bullseye, all girls. They're all female dogs to portray, you know, what people believe is a boy dog. Same thing with Spuds McKenzie as well, which is also the same breed. They're all female dogs kind of playing a male character dog. And at first I was like, oh, I wonder why. Are they easier to train? Are they more mild-mannered?
Yeah, like they don't mind cameras or something, right?
Yeah. And then looked at all the pictures of Bullseye and Spuds, and I realized when you have a spokes dog, most of the time the dog is sitting down and getting their pictures taken. And I was like, oh, if it's a boy dog, then his nether regions would just be out, and it'd just be photograph from different angles. Do you know what I mean? It's like, right, you know, yeah. I'm not an expert. If someone is an expert, please educate me. I think they want to avoid having a like a dog super penis reasonable. Like in pictures.
That is super yeah. reasonable. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He can't wear pants, you know. Bullseye, six dogs and two additional dogs in training.
The alternate. Oh, they're the up and comers. It's also good for, you know, foiling would-be assassins if you've got the doubles around. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. You never know which one's the
which yeah. it's the Queen mm-hmm. Amidala or mm-hmm. Harry Potter.
Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The doppelganger. Yeah. All right. Last question. Brad Pitt or lasers? Which came first? Goofy or Pluto?
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh, Chris?
Goofy.
What's your guess, Colin?
I was going to say Pluto.
Pluto came first.
Oh, wow.
First appearance, 1930, in the short The Chain Gang. Goofy was not always called Goofy. Right. When he first debuted.
He was Dippy Dog.
Dippy Dog. And I'm counting the Dippy Dog. His
sure. Oh, I was.
Dippy Dog, 1932, in Mickey's Review.
Ah.
Yeah.
My reasoning on the answer there was just that they would give Mickey a dog before they gave him another friend. That was my reasoning.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Good job, everybody. Woo. And that's our dog episode.
Doggone
Yay.
It.
Thank you all for joining me. And thank you, listeners, for listening in. You can find us on all major podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The Explorers Podcast, Movie Therapy, and Plotting Through the Presidents. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.